Would you stand as we pray the model prayer from the Bible this morning? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. In Matthew's gospel, Matthew chapter 26, verses 1 through 2 is the beginning of our text this morning. And we see recorded here, now it came to pass when Jesus had finished all these sayings that he said to his disciples, you know, that after 2 days is the Passover, and the Son of Man will be delivered up to be crucified. This morning, I want to speak once again on the subject of the cross. And this morning, I want to speak about the commitment, the consecration, the devotion of the cross. Now, I don't know of anything that's any more important than the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as the trio sang a few moments ago about that grace that is greater than all our sin. The Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians 2, 1 through 2, he said, and I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellence of speech or of wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. Let me tell you, the cross is the central message in all of the Bible, the cross and the resurrection. And because that is the reason that Jesus came into the world to shed his blood for the forgiveness of sin. Jesus had given prophecy about the time that he was going to come again someday. And he wanted to bring encouragement to those disciples as well as to admonish them that we need to be ready for the coming of the Lord one of these days. And now he begins to tell them about the central purpose for his coming into the world. Now, even though Jesus had tried to prepare those disciples for the cross, it seems that they were not very prepared. It was something they had difficulty dealing with. I mean, after all, they would have to give up their master. They would have to give up the one that they had followed for the past 3 years, the one they believed was the Messiah that would be put on a cross and tortured and crucified like some criminal out there. Notice in verse number 2 of our text, Jesus said, as you know, the Passover is 2 days away and the Son of Man will be handed over to be crucified. This morning, there are 4 points about his commitment to the cross that I want us to ponder. Number one is the announcement of the cross. The announcement of the cross, the time, young people, of the crucifixion is announced. Jesus had said that it's going to be during the time of the Passover. You see, this fulfilled Bible prophecy. And under the time of the crucifixion came the Passover time. And the feast of the Passover was a Jewish feast. It was to remind them every year of their deliverance out of Egyptian bondage that God used Moses to bring them through. And if you will remember from your Old Testament history, God sent 10 different plagues upon Pharaoh. Pharaoh hardened his heart, and because of the disobedience to God's people, God would judge the Egyptians for that. And so when the 10th plague came, God had told Moses and the Israelites to kill a lamb, a spotless lamb without spot and blemish. And they were to take the blood and to put it on the doorpost and on the door. And so when the death angel was coming to take the firstborn of the Egyptians, which was God's judgment upon the nation of Egypt and upon Pharaoh for not allowing God's people to be released from bondage. As the Israelites, the Jews, placed that blood over the doorpost, when the death angel would pass over, it would see the blood and pass over them. And hence that became known as Passover celebration to the Jewish people. They were also to take that lamb and they were to cook that, and they were to make bread out of unleavened. They didn't put any yeast in it. The unleavened leaven in the Old Testament in places referred to sin and to evil. And so this great sign was given so that the Israelite people would be safe from the death angel that passed over. And as they took the lamb and they would cook that, they would eat that. And as they prepared the unleavened bread, they were to eat the bread and they were to eat the flesh of the lamb, which would be symbolic of Christ. And just as that lamb nourished their bodies and strengthened them for the journey that they would make after they left Egypt, so you and I feed upon Jesus Christ spiritually. We are nourished by Him. And in our thoughts for this morning, Jesus gave Passover a new thing for you and for me. Jesus updated the Passover where He applied it to us. Our deliverance from sin out of the hand of Satan. And so the feast of Passover and then the fulfillment of the Passover was much a part of the Jewish heritage. In fact, when Paul wrote to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7, Paul said, "For indeed Christ, our Passover, was sacrificed for us." And so what observing the feast of the Passover did for the Jewish people physically, receiving Jesus Christ into our hearts and our lives does for Christians spiritually. And so we have the time that was announced for the crucifixion. It would be during the season of the Passover. And that's very significant because the cross is the fulfillment of the Passover. And in Passover, we see the blood of the cross and we see the sacrifice of the cross as God's Lamb. Jesus is the Lamb. Jesus would sacrifice Himself so that you and I might have redemption through His shed blood and faith in Him. You see, the tragedy of the crucifixion was also announced. Jesus said He would be handed over to be crucified. Some translations say the Son of Man will be betrayed into wicked hands. And so we know the tragedy of the crucifixion is that Jesus would be betrayed. Now, what was the reason, kids, young people, youth today, what was the reason for the betrayal of Jesus? It was to fulfill the prophecy in God's word. The Old Testament had predicted that Jesus would be betrayed by one of His own. You see, we find that over in the book of Psalms. The Old Testament predicted that Messiah would be betrayed, and even His betrayal, even that minute detail that was predicted, we see the result of that in the crucifixion. Let me tell you, Jesus would be betrayed. He would experience one of the most heinous, torturous of all types of death. And so, first of all, one of the things we see in this passage for this morning is the announcement of the cross, the time of Passover. The tragedy was His betrayal. And then secondly of all, this morning, we see the arrangements before the cross. There's something Jesus wanted to do before the crucifixion took place, something that was very, very important. Notice the participants in these arrangements. God uses even evil people in this world. He can take and use them to bring about His eternal purposes. And we see in verse 3 of our passage of Matthew 26, verse 3, speaking of the participants, the arrangements that were made for the crucifixion, then the chief priest, young people, the chief priest, the scribes and the elders, these were the group of religious leaders that Jesus was always having problems with. Then the chief priests noticed the scribes and the elders of the people assembled where? At the palace of the high priest who was called Caiaphas. They've done many excavations in the Holy Land, and as they continue to do those, it's amazing as they unearth various things and how it validifies the veracity, the truth of Scripture. And they have found the house of Caiaphas that's listed here in Matthew 26, verse 3. They found his house. In fact, they've excavated that. And they found the dungeon or the cellar. They found the basement of the high priest. And in that basement, they found a little box. And in that box, they found the bones of Caiaphas. And we know that from carbon dating because it was back to the time of Christ. And on top of that little box was the name Caiaphas and the date. And the place was his home. It was where he lived. It was huge. And so here, the chief priest and the elders, these people were the people Jesus had had problems with throughout his days of his earthly ministry. And they're finally going to plot the arrangements of his death, his coming to Jerusalem, his triumphant entry as we celebrate next Sunday morning, Palm Sunday, the triumphant entry of Jesus into the old city of Jerusalem. The popularity among the people had been so great that these chief priests and these scribes, they realized that it was not a good time to do what they had planned to do. But there was not anything that was going to stop it because God had predicted when it would take place. In verse number 4 of Matthew 26, notice we see as they plan out the arrangements and plotted to take Jesus by trickery and kill him. This was the cruelty of the false religion of the peoples of that day. There's a lot of people down through the years that have died because of religion. There have been all kinds of religious wars throughout the ages. And here we see are the most religious people in all of the land. And they're so distorted in their way of thinking what God is all about. And so they plot the arrangements of how they will kill Jesus. This group of people, they were crafty, they're plotting. And have you ever wondered why Jesus was arrested during the wee hours of the morning while it was dark? You see, with just a few around, it was because Jesus was such a popular figure. There were the throngs and the masses that had heard him speak and preach and teach and deliver people out of sickness and from blindness and from being crippled and lame. They had watched Jesus release demon spirits out of those that were had those things that were a part of their lives. And Jesus had become so popular. And the people were going in throngs to Jesus. And so the religious leaders and the priests of the day, they realize that they have to be careful in the way they do things. And so it's in under the cloak of darkness. It's at night that all of those trials that are made up, manufactured against Jesus. And so the bunch that arranged for his death, they were a crafty bunch. Let me tell you, but they were also cautious. Notice in verse 5, but they said, not during the feast, lest there be an uproar among the people. Notice that. they realized that if they did it during the Feast of Passover, that it would create a great stir among the people who were following Jesus, those who truly were his disciples and followers. And so they really planned not to do it during this time. You have the plans of men, but let me tell you, you certainly see the hand of Almighty God, because God had prophesied that it would take place during the Passover. And even though the men were cautious and afraid to carry it out among the people, it was still going forward because God said that it was going to take place during this period of time. And so those are the arrangements before the cross. You see, the cross didn't just accidentally take place. Let me tell you, it's not that things got out of hand and all of a sudden they captured Jesus. It was something that was well rehearsed, well thought out, well planned out. They carefully made the arrangements to plot and to kill Jesus. But there's a third thing that we notice in this passage. We see the anointing for the cross. Notice in verses 6 through 13, Matthew records these words, "And when Jesus was in Bethany at the house of Simon the leper, a woman came to him having an alabaster flask of a very costly fragrant oil, and she poured it on Jesus' head as Jesus sat at the table. But when his disciples saw it," they, young people, notice those disciples, they're mad, they're angry, they're indignant, "saying, 'Why this waste? For this fragrant of oil might have been sold for much and given to the poor.' But when Jesus was aware of it, he said to them, 'Why do you trouble the woman? For she's done a good work for me. For you have the poor with you always, but me you do not have always. For in pouring this fragrant oil on my body, she did it," notice, "for my burial. Assuredly, I say to you, wherever this gospel is preached in the whole world, what this woman has done will also be told as a memorial to her." Let me tell you, young people, Bethany was sort of like what you and I would call a suburb of Jerusalem. It was just a little way. Jesus would come. Jesus would go back and forth to the temple. And at the end of the day, he would head back over to Bethany. But the interesting thing is that he's going to have this Passover meal in the home of Simon the leper. Now, you will remember that lepers had to be outcasts. They were pariahs of society. They were in a club all their own. But evidently, Simon the leper had been healed of his leprosy. He's been restored, and now he's invited Jesus to come to his home. Notice the gratitude of love. This woman pours out this love upon the head of Jesus. The reason it's an act of love is because in those days, if you went to someone's house, they would refresh you. They would use oil as a means of hospitality. They would use oil for a healing for the sheep and the lambs. But when you came to their houses and you were dusty and you had been down the roads and you had were sweating and all of those kinds of things, they didn't have the things that you and I have today. They didn't have the deodorants and the colognes and the perfumes and all of those things that we have today like we have. And so they would bring people in their home and they would refresh them. And here's a scene in this home of Simon the leper, and Jesus is there, and this woman, she anoints Jesus. She uses the whole bottle. An alabaster jar was something that you would use to put something very precious in. This was a very expensive oil, a perfume here, and she lavishes it on the Lord Jesus, and it would have cost, in those days, a whole year's wages to purchase that. And so it was a great loving act. But those disciples, they didn't like that. They thought it being so expensive, it should have been sold and given to the poor. But Jesus rebukes them and lets them know that that was not a waste. Notice his approval of her in verses 10 through 13. I tell you the truth, wherever this gospel is preached throughout the world, what she has done will also be told in memory of her. One of the other gospels says this act will be always remembered as an everlasting memory of this woman's love for Jesus. You know what that says to me this morning? I think that gives us three things that you and I can take as takeaways this morning in our lives, things that we can apply an application to our daily life. Three things. Number one, do what you can. Do what you can. Here was this woman. She had this expensive perfume. Her perception, the attitude of her heart. What could she give to Jesus? What could she do when she knew he was going to the cross? He was going to give of himself. He would be nailed to a cross for her sins and my sins and your sins and for the sins of the world. And she looked around with a perceptive heart. What can I give to Jesus? Let me tell you, you and I need to do what we can, because life is short. And this was the only time this woman would have to show Jesus how much she truly loved him. And may I say this to you and me this morning, that this life is all that you and I have to show Jesus how much we love him. So do what you can. Secondly, do it with what you have. Do it with what you have. God doesn't expect us to do it with what we don't have, but do it with what you have. And thirdly, do it while you can. Many, many people during the days of my ministry have said to me throughout the years, Pastor, you better enjoy life while you're young. Well, I've grown older since those days, but I want you to know, you better do what you can do. As the old song says that Bobby Richardson and that barbershop quartet used to sing here in Duncan, you can't do what you used to do 35 years ago, and how true that is. So do it while you can. Many people will say to me, Pastor, oh, how I wish I could go to church. You know, when I read that verse in the Bible that says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. You know, I look at the crowd on Sunday night. I look at the crowd on Wednesday night. I look at the crowd on Sunday morning. And I ask myself the question, I wonder how many people in the nursing home. I wonder how many people in the hospital. I wonder how many people in the assisted livings would say, hey, I'll trade places with you. I'd love to be there on Sunday night. I'd love to be there on Wednesday night. I'd love to be there on Sunday morning. I would love to be there to give of my best to the Master. I can no longer be engaged in life as I once was. And so, since this is all I have to give, I want to give of my best to the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a fourth thing this morning in closing that we noticed from this passage, and it was, what was the atmosphere of the cross that day? Verses 14 through 16, it was an atmosphere of betrayal. Notice then one of the 12 called Judas Iscariot went to the chief priest and said, what are you willing to give me if I deliver Jesus to you? And they, speaking of the chief priest, and they counted out to him 30 pieces of silver. 30 pieces of silver. So from that time, he sought opportunity to betray Jesus. Judas sought opportunity to betray Jesus. Let me tell you, verse number 16, from then on Judas watched, one translation says, from then on Judas watched for an opportunity to hand Jesus over. You see, it was an atmosphere of betrayal, but let me tell you, it was also an atmosphere of blessing. Verse 17 to 28 has to do with the Lord's Supper, which says, now on the first day of the feast of the unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus saying to him, where do you want us to prepare for you to eat the Passover? And Jesus said, go into the city to a certain man and say to him, the teacher says, my time is at hand. I will keep the Passover at your house with my disciples. So the disciples did as Jesus had directed them, and they prepared the Passover. When evening had come, he sat down with the 12. Now as they were eating, he said, assuredly, I say to you, one of you will betray me. And they were exceedingly sorrowful, and each of them began to say to him, Lord, is it I? Jesus answered and said, he who dipped his hand with me in the dish will betray me. And they were exceedingly sorrowful, and each of them began to say to him, Lord, is it I? He answered and said, he who dipped his hand with me in the dish will betray me. The Son of Man indeed goes just as it is written of him, but woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been good for that man if he had not been born. Then Judas, who was betraying Jesus, answered and said, Rabbi, is it I? Jesus said to Judas, you've said it. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to the disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body. Then Jesus took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. You see, this was also a time of blessing, of communion, and the command that Jesus gave to those disciples. It's the ordinance that we call communion or the Lord's Supper. Our deacon body will be leading us next Sunday morning on Palm Sunday as we partake of communion, the Lord's Supper. Now notice he didn't specify that you have to take it every week, every month, every quarter, every year. He just said, inasmuch as you do it in remembrance of me. Let me tell you, it's a picture of salvation, how salvation was made available, the bread of his body, and the cup, which is the red, which shows the blood of the Lord Jesus. These are symbolic. As we eat the bread, that we think of the body of Jesus that was broken on Calvary's cross for our sins. We drink the cup, which shows the red of the juice, which is symbolic of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then notice the prophecy of what Jesus said. He prophesied his reign. The Lord's Supper not only looked back to the cross, not only does it look into your own life and my life as we examine our own life, but it looks ahead to the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Look what Jesus said would happen in his time to come. Verse 29, but I say unto you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on until that day. Young people, that day is referring to when Jesus comes again someday. Until that day, when I drink it new with you, when? Where? In my Father's kingdom. Notice, and then notice in verse 30 and 31, he prophesied his rejection. And when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. Young people, they partook of the Lord's Supper to remind them of what was going to happen, of what it would memorialize, for what it would symbolize in the hearts and lives of Christian. After they partook of the Lord's Supper, Matthew tells us, then Jesus said to them, speaking of those disciples, all of you will be made to stumble because of me this night. He said, because it is written, I will strike the shepherd and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. What Jesus is prophesying there, young people, is about the crucifixion. He would be crucified and his sheep, his followers, they would be struck down as the shepherd would be struck down on the cross. Those disciples would flee. They would run away and they would hide because of fear that they might be the next ones on that old rugged cross. The songwriter put it well when saying, "Jesus, keep me near the cross. There's a precious fountain, free to all, a healing stream, which flows from Calvary's mountain. Near the cross, a trembling soul, love and mercy found me. There the bright and morning star shed his beams around me. Near the cross, O Lamb of God, bring its scenes before me. Help me walk from day to day with its shadows o'er me. Near the cross, I'll watch and wait, hoping, trusting ever, till I reach the golden strand just beyond the river. In the cross, be my glory ever, till my ransomed soul shall find rest beyond the river."